Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Dead America. Tales of the First Month. The Birthday Party by Derek Sladen. Day 0, 5 p.m. Candice, Joanne, and Alex popped the cork on a bottle of champagne, the latter pouring generous portions to each of the three of them. The small house in the Austin suburb of Cedar Park was adorned with streamers and balloons and shiny dollar store decor boasting "Happy Birthday" all over the place. Candice's phone gave a ding, and she picked it up. She grinned at the sight of a group chat that her friends had put together, with a dozen people in it, all posting well wishes and slutty happy birthday gifts for her. She grinned when she spotted a "Happy Dirty 30" with a little wink beside it, and turned her screen to show it to Joanne.
"Oh, is that the cute one from the bar?"
her friend asked conspiratorially. Candice blushed.
"The very same," she said,
and they shared a giggle as they downed more champagne. Alex raised his glass, wiggling the glass and clearing his throat.
"To the best nurse I've ever known. Happy birthday, Candice," he declared.
"Great sentiment, but she's the only nurse you've ever known," Joanne said dryly.
Alex cocked a haughty brow.
"What about that girl in the club a couple weeks back?" he reminded them.
You mean the one in a latex miniskirt version of a nurse's outfit?" Joanne asked. "Somehow, I don't think she qualifies."
"But she offered to take me home and check my temperature,"
Alex said, waggling his eyebrows. The two women paused, staring at him for a moment. Joanne raised a finger.
"I want you to think about that statement for a moment and try to come up with a way that would have ended up good for you," she said.
He pursed his lips, and then after a beat he paled and shuddered, realizing what she was implicating.
"Oh, God," he moaned. "I really need to lay off the vodka shooters when I go out."
"Well, it's a good thing we're staying in," Candice declared, "because I have a tray full of them in the fridge."
The three of them let out loud whoops and downed the rest of their champagne. A hard knock on the wall next to them echoed, startling them.
"Uh-oh,"
Candice muttered, putting a hand to her forehead.
"What was that?"
Alex asked. She sighed heavily.
"My roommate," she replied.
"Tell Jackie, instead of banging on the wall, that she can come join us," Joanne said loudly enough for the woman in the bedroom next to the dining room.
She lowered her voice and turned to Candice.
"I know I'm not the biggest fan of hers, but I'm not going to start anything, I promise."
The birthday girl shook her head.
"It's not that. She's just been so sick ever since she went to that football game a few days ago.
she explained.
Must be one hell of a bug going around, Alex said, shaking his head. I know a few people at work who are down with something, too.
Mine, too, Joanne added. We're so short-staffed.
As if on cue, Candace's phone bleated, and she groaned when she read the name on the screen.
You just had to jinx me, didn't you? She accused.
Who is it?
Joanne asked.
My shift lead, Brecken, Candace muttered.
Her phone continued to ring and she simply stared at it, contemplating whether she should answer it or not.
Just ignore it, Alex suggested. You have a birthday to celebrate.
Candace sighed.
If I don't answer, he'll just keep calling, she whined. Just keep it down for a moment.
They both nodded, Joanne miming zipping her mouth shut, and Candace swiped to answer the call.
It's my birthday, Brecken, she said immediately. I'm not coming in.
I wouldn't call if it wasn't important, he replied.
And to his credit, he sounded shaken, panicked even. That was definitely unlike him. He was usually so cool and collected.
It's always important, she shot back, trying not to be swayed by his tone. She deserved some time to herself. Always short-staffed because Karen refuses to hire enough nurses. It's my birthday, and I'm going to enjoy it.
We're overwhelmed,
he insisted, his voice cracking.
Half the staff called out, or just aren't answering their phones. The ER is so packed there are people sitting on the sidewalk outside.
She shook her head. The last time she'd come in when the situation seemed dire, they'd let her cut out early because he'd overestimated the number of people he'd need. Not this time, she thought. I'm not giving up my birthday party for you.
Sorry, Brecken. It's my birthday, and I'm already drunk, she said, purposely slurring her sentence.
She was definitely not that drunk yet, but he didn't need to know that. And her being drunk should have been the end of the conversation. The hospital and the shift leader would get in enormous amounts of trouble if they knowingly allowed an impaired nurse to work a shift.
I don't care,
Brecken snapped.
I won't report you. Nobody here will. I need you here.
She blinked for a moment, taken aback by the response. She knew Brecken would never endanger the hospital or his own license by allowing her to work drunk. He was always erring on the side of caution, wanting their working environment to be as safe as possible for them and the patients. There was a knock at the front door, and Candace glanced up, brow furrowed, still unsure of what to say to her shift supervisor.
Please, please, Candace,
Brecken begged.
I need you here. We need you here. I'll make sure it's overtime pay, too.
The knocking went from polite to panicked banging, harder and harder, and Jackie banged back from her bedroom wall.
I'm sorry, Candace yelled into the phone. I have something to deal with here.
He immediately pleaded with her to reconsider, but she hung up on him, setting the phone down on the table. Expecting more guests? Alex asked, confusion written all over his face. Candace shook her head.
Nope,
she replied, and cautiously made her way towards the door. When she reached it, she glanced out the side window and spotted her elderly neighbor, Mrs. Harper.
Who is it?
Joanne called.
It's Mrs. Harper,
Candace replied and opened the door. The older woman startled as if she hadn't expected the door to open, and her eyes were wild, almost unfocused.
Oh, thank God you're home,
she huffed, chest heaving.
Is everything okay, Mrs. Harper?
Candace asked, brow furrowing. She'd never seen the sweet older lady with such high energy before. The woman stammered and stuttered, and then pointed back towards her house, revealing a nasty wound on her forearm as she did so.
Oh my God,
Candace blurted, reaching for her arm. What happened?
It's my husband,
Mrs. Harper blathered, her body sagging a bit as she let the nurse inspect her arm.
He's not well. I really need help.
Joanne, get me a towel, quick, Candace barked over her shoulder. Her friend disappeared and then darted out of the kitchen with a towel, handing it to Candace, who folded it and put pressure on the wound. She'd expected a wince or a hiss or something, but Mrs. Harper didn't even react, still staring back at her house.
Please, my husband, he needs help,
she said absently.
What's wrong with him?
Candace said firmly, all traces of drunkenness gone. She was in nursing mode now.
Please,
Mrs. Harper begged, her voice thickening with tears.
I don't think he's going to make it.
Did you call 911? Candace asked.
Please, my husband, he...
Mrs. Harper trailed off. Did you call 911? Candace snapped, making her voice firm and authoritative enough to finally get the woman's full attention. Mrs. Harper took a deep breath, focusing her eyes on the younger nurse.
Yes, she replied finally. But I can't get through. Please help him.
Candace looked back at her friends. I'm going to see what's wrong, she said. You two start calling 911 until you get through. Tell them it's a heart attack and we need an ambulance. What's the address? Alex asked. Just send them here and wave them over, Candace instructed, and they both nodded, pulling out their phones. She pulled Mrs. Harper's free hand over the towel on her arm, making sure she was holding it tightly, and then led the way across the yard to the other house. The neighborhood was small and eerily quiet that night. Normally around this time, everyone was coming home from their workdays, but there were no vehicles to be heard. As the sun began to set over the horizon, the two of them reached the house. Mrs. Harper hesitated and then shakily reached for the door, turning the knob to let them inside.
I'm so sorry about the mess, the older woman stammered. He's been sick for a few days and has taken up all of my time.
It's okay, Candace assured her gently. You should see my house when I'm not expecting company. Mrs. Harper forced a smile out as she led Candace to the bedroom. The door was shut, and the faint sounds of movement echoed behind it. The older woman reached for the door, but Candace stopped her when she spotted blood on the door.
How did you get hurt?
She asked, brow furrowing. Mrs. Harper hesitated, and then lowered her gaze, pursing her lips before answering.
He didn't mean it, she said in a small, defeated tone. He's very ill, and I must have touched a tender spot on him.
And he cut you for it? Candace gasped. Mrs. Harper shook her head.
No, you'll see,
she said, and turned the knob, pushing the door open. Candace's knee-jerk reaction was to grab the door and pull it shut again, but it was too late. A frenzied Mr. Harper flung himself into the hallway, and the young woman stood rooted to the spot, gaping at how awful he looked. His eyes were a cold black, showing nothing, no emotion or life. His skin a pallid, sick green, crimson goo ringed around his mouth. He looked like a complete monster.
Honey, you're out of bed,
Mrs. Harper asked, in a most insanely casual tone, and Candace wanted to shake her. Mr. Harper, or what had maybe once been Mr. Harper, let out a shriek before lunging for his wife. She screamed as he bit into her throat, and then it turned to gurgles as he tore free, her vocal cords severed and drowned in blood. Candace watched her sweet neighbor's blood spray across the wall as the monster feasted on her flesh. She tore her eyes away from the grisly scene to look for something to defend herself with. She spotted an antique wooden clock on a nearby desk and grabbed it, darting over and smashing it over Mr. Harper's head. The impact didn't seem to do anything at all except cause him to growl. He raised his head, a chunk of bloody flesh hanging out of his mouth, and then screamed, dropping his wife's limp form before lunging at Candace. She ducked out of the way of the fast-moving monster, and it smacked headfirst into the wall and slid over to Mrs. Harper, who breathed her final breath. There was no way she was coming back from that, and Candace made the snap decision to try to save herself, running for the door. Footsteps pounded behind her, and she barely had time to marvel at how fast the old man was moving before she flew out the front door, pulling it behind her. It slammed shut with a thud, presumably from Mr. Harper's body smacking into it. But she didn't stop moving, running frantically back to her house. In the distance, screams echoed in the night, and at the sound of a gunshot, her blood ran cold.
The hell is happening right now? She thought as she ran.
The neighborhood was dimly lit, the sun was just vanishing, and the shadows seemed to be moving everywhere. She ignored it, unable to force herself to linger to see what was going on, and threw herself through her front door, snapping the deadbolts behind her. Alex and Joanne stared at her with wide eyes, lowering their phones and rushing to her side.
"My God, are you okay?"
Alex gasped. Candace couldn't even answer, her body shaking, struggling to process what she just witnessed.
"Honey, you need to talk to us,"
Joanne said gently, though there was an edge of worry to her tone.
"What happened? Where is Mrs. Harper?"
"She's..."
Candace croaked and then cleared her throat, running her hands through her head.
"She's dead."
Her two friends shared a concerned glance before turning back to her.
"What do you mean, dead?"
Joanne asked hesitantly.
"I mean dead,"
Candace snapped, throwing up her hands.
"Her husband ripped her throat out with his bare teeth."
She scrubbed her palms down her face.
"Then he came after me."
"Oh my God."
Alex breathed and slid an arm around her shoulders. "Here, come here, sit down." He tried to lead her to the couch, but she shook away from his grasp. Candace pushed her fear to the back of her mind. When there was a rush of horrific things in the ER, she couldn't let her emotions get the best of her. And she couldn't do it now. She'd have time to deal with her feelings later, but right at this moment she needed to focus.
"Did you get through to 911?
She asked. Both of them shook their heads.
"It started to ring once, but all I got was a high-pitched tone once it connected,"
Alex explained.
"I don't know what's going on over there, but it can't be anything good." "TV, try the TV,"
Candace instructed, then snapped her fingers.
"And where's my phone?"
Alex inclined his head to Joanne and then moved to the coffee table to grab the TV remote. Joanne darted for the dining room table and returned with Candace's phone, holding it out to her.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Right now, all stock outlets with USB ports are on sale. Ditch the need for bulky USB adapters. Upgrade your home with features like ultra-fast charging, allowing you to charge your smart devices up to 40% faster than standard USB outlets. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Candace scrolled through the dozen text notifications to the last missed call from Brecken, tapping on his name. It rang and rang before going to voicemail, and she grunted in frustration.
"Come on, you asshole. You wanted me to come in,"
she muttered as she mashed her thumb against the call button again.
"Pretend it's me agreeing to it. Now answer the phone."
It went to voicemail again, and she cursed under her breath before turning her attention to the TV. Alex flipped through channels, which were mostly pre-recorded shows. The stations that normally had news on at this time of night were all showing sitcom reruns.
"I don't get it. Where is the news?"
Alex cried.
"Try 64,
Joanne suggested.
"It's the local 24-hour station."
Alex punched it in and the channel popped up. A lone anchor sat in front of the camera, a well-dressed blonde woman with perfect makeup, though her eyes were a little wide. Candace turned away and tried Brecken again, but there was still no answer.
"She's going to update,"
Alex declared, and the girls turned back to the TV, stepping up to the back of the couch. He turned up the volume. "The situation is," the anchor said, and then pressed against her ear, nodding as she listened to her earpiece. "My apologies to our audience. I'm getting information as it comes in. What do you mean our remote isn't responding?" "What is she?" Joanne started, but Alex shushed her. The anchor shook her head. "To hell with it. I'll report what we know," she said, lowering her hand and sitting up straight, adjusting the papers on her desk and addressing the camera. "Approximately 15 minutes ago, one of our remote teams was reporting from 6th Street when they were attacked by some troublemakers," she began. "We thought it was an isolated incident, but soon reports started to come in from our teams around the city. All of them reporting the same thing, violent attacks from unknown assailants. At first we thought it was a crime spree or rioting. However, nothing of value was being taken from stores or from victims." "But what?" Joanne cut in, and both Alex and Candace shushed her this time. "Reports of biting went along with the attacks, none of the assailants using weapons, only their teeth," the anchor continued. "Please stay tuned as we find out more about this story. As of right now, if you are in the center city area, it would be advisable for you to stay indoors. Do not go outside if you can help it." She reached up and touched her earpiece again. "Jimmy, cut to commercial. Folks, my apologies. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back." Finally, Candace took a deep breath. "We need to get out of here," she said.
"You heard the news," Alex countered, motioning wildly to the TV. "We need to stay put."
"Whatever is happening downtown is happening here," Candace snapped. "It's safe to assume that it's happening in a lot of other places as well. We need to be away from people."
Joanne crossed her arms.
"I think she's right," she said.
"Of course you'd take her side," Alex quipped, jutting out his chin.
"There's no side to take," Joanne insisted. "I just don't want to be around people, do you?"
He chewed over that for a moment, and then finally shook his head.
"Okay," he relented with a sigh.
"Where are we going?"
"My uncle has a place outside of Burnett," Candace said. "It's only about 20 miles away, but right now that feels a lot safer than being here."
Joanne inclined her head towards the hallway.
"What about your roommate?" she asked.
Candace sighed, pressing her lips into a thin line.
"My car isn't big enough for all four of us," she admitted with a wince.
She knew that she shouldn't leave Jackie behind.
"Mine is,"
Alex offered, getting to his feet.
Candace's heart soared. "Okay, good," she said, clapping her hands together. "Let's get her and get out of here."
Her phone trilled from her pocket and she fished it out.
"It's Brecken," she gushed.
"We'll get Jackie. You find out what's going on," Alex suggested, and they headed off as Candace swiped to answer the call.
"Brecken, where the hell have you—"
"Candace, you have to get out of town,"
Brecken cut in breathlessly.
"Way ahead of you," she quipped. "You'd better be doing the same."
He didn't answer, breathing heavily, and there was a loud clatter in the background, followed by some banging and a scream in the distance.
"Breck?"
Candace asked, brow furrowing in concern.
"Is everything okay?"
"I'm hurt pretty bad,"
he admitted, his breathing ragged.
"One of the patients just—"
He chuckled, but it sounded pained and forced.
"It's the damnedest thing. She just jumped up out of bed and bit me. An hour ago she was too weak to move, and now she's—"
He coughed a bit.
"They're running wild, like we used to on 6th Street."
Candace forced a laugh, trying to keep her supervisor in good spirits.
"You just hang tight. I'm sure somebody will come help you soon,"
she said as brightly as she could. He coughed again, giving another pained chuckle.
"I'm done for,"
he said morosely.
"You need to get out now, and stay away from the sick. They're dangerous."
Before she could formulate a question, Candace realized what he was saying, and she dropped the phone, running down the hallway.
"Alex! Joanne, stop!"
she yelled. But Alex already had the knob turned. The door opened about 6 inches.
"What is it?"
he asked, turning back towards her. But before Candace could respond, Jackie leapt out of the darkness, teeth first. She latched onto Alex's fingers, and he shrieked, jerking back and trying to shut the door around her. When she wedged her body into the gap, he let go of the door and punched her, but she didn't let go. Candace and Joanne screamed incoherently as he yanked his hand away, the skin of his middle and ring fingers shredding as he freed himself from Jackie's teeth.
He fell back onto the floor, clutching his hand as it bled all over his shirt, his face pale and eyes wide. Jackie's mouth opened, and she let out an inhuman screech, lunging for Joanne, who had no time to react before there were teeth in her neck. She screamed and they both fell to the floor, Joanne flailing around as Jackie feasted on her flesh. Candace snatched up the glass champagne bottle and ran forward, swinging it hard and up. It smacked into Jackie's forehead, snapping her head up. There was a slight dent in her forehead, but her roommate didn't seem perturbed. Her eyes with that same dead coldness that Mr. Harper had. Jackie hopped to her feet and started for Candace, who readied the bottle for an attack. But Alex sprung from the floor and grabbed the monster around the waist, flinging her back towards the bedroom. As he let go, Jackie stumbled against the doorframe, but he kicked her in the chest, sending her falling back inside. He quickly slammed the door before she could get up, and a moment later she banged on it, thumping away and trying to get through. They stared at the door, stunned and afraid, but when it seemed Jackie wouldn't be able to get free, they turned towards Joanne. Candace dropped to her knees, tugging on her friend's hand to try to get it away from her wound.
Let me see," Candace quipped.
Joanne's eyes were wild, filled with terror and dread. She finally let go, and Candace inspected the wound, a significant chunk of flesh ripped out right at the jugular. She quickly applied pressure, glancing back over her shoulder at Alex. Her eyes showed hopelessness, a look that conveyed there was nothing she could do.
"It's going to be okay,"
Alex cooed, getting down to the floor as well and looking his friend in the eyes.
"Just close your eyes and let Candace take care of you. We'll be drinking on Sixth together before you know it."
Joanne nodded, not saying anything, her body falling more and more limp as she bled out. Finally, her eyes glassed over and she stopped breathing. The only sound in the house, Jackie's frantic pounding from her bedroom. Alex reached out and pulled on Candace, who was still applying pressure on her dead friend's wound.
"Come on, girl, we have to get the hell out of here,"
he insisted. She reluctantly pulled away and then swallowed hard, nodding. She moved back down the hallway, picking up her phone and shoving it into her pocket along with her emotions, back to nurse mode. She grabbed her keys from the kitchen counter and turned back towards her remaining friend.
"How's your hand?"
she asked.
"Hurts like hell, but I'll be okay,"
he replied shakily. Candace jerked a thumb over her shoulder.
"There's some cheap vodka in the freezer," she said. "Pour it over your hand, then wrap it up." "You're a nurse, and you don't have any actual disinfectant?"
Alex asked, raising an eyebrow. She shrugged.
"I do, but it's in Jackie's bathroom," she quipped. "You're more than welcome to go get it if you want."
He glanced back towards the bedroom door with a shudder, and then stared down at his throbbing hand.
"Cheap vodka it is," he muttered.
Candace approached the window as Alex tended to his wound. He hissed as he poured the alcohol over his hand, and then took a sip from the bottle.
"Shit,"
she muttered as she looked at the car, spotting a few figures moving around outside of it.
"What is it?"
Alex asked as he wrapped up his hand. She shook her head.
"I think there's more of those things out there," she said.
"Shit," he replied.
"I know,"
Candace said with a sigh.
"No, it's Joanne,"
Alex said, his voice rising in pitch. Candace whirled around, her eyes widening as her friend shifted and started to wake up. Candace sputtered, shaking her head as her friend sat up.
"No, impossible, she was..."
Joanne looked around almost confused, and then stared straight at Alex with cold, dead eyes.
"Joanne?"
Alex asked tentatively. She let out an inhuman screech and pounced to her feet, rushing towards the kitchen.
"Help! Help! Help!"
Alex bellowed, lashing out and grabbing his friend by the shirt. He pushed back, holding her in place as she thrashed about, trying to grab onto Alex and pull him closer. Her teeth gnashed, her jaw clamping repeatedly as if she were trying to take a bite out of him.
"Candace!"
Alex screamed. She grabbed a knife from the holder on the counter and then rushed over, stabbing her friend in the back. The impact did nothing to Joanne, didn't slow her down or cause her any pain.
It was as if she didn't even register being stabbed.
"Try something else!"
Alex cried, straining to hold the insanely strong monster in place as Candace looked around for something else to attack with. With no other options, she pulled the knife out and stabbed Joanne several more times in the back, all with the same result. Nothing. Finally, she aimed for the back of her head, thrusting as hard as she could. The tip of the blade cracked through the back of Joanne's skull, causing her to twitch a bit. Candace smacked the handle with the palm of her hand, jamming it further in, and then the monster went limp. Alex let go, his arms falling to his sides with exhaustion, and Joanne's corpse fell to the floor, lifeless.
"What did you do?"
he huffed.
"Knife to the skull," Candace replied. "We should remember that."
He nodded, his eyes unfocused as he attempted to process his shock.
"Headshots, yes," he said vaguely. "Got it."
Candace gave his shoulder a reassuring squeeze and led him to the front door, looking out the window towards the car. There were four more creatures standing between them and the vehicle, jerking as they looked for a target.
"Okay," she said softly. "We need to get to my car. The only thing that matters is getting in and shutting the doors."
"Does the back door open?" Alex asked. She nodded.
"Yeah, it does," she said. "I'll get to the driver's seat, you get into the back, and we get the hell out of here."
"Okay," he replied. "Why don't you go ahead and unlock the door before we go?"
"Because if those things are attracted to noise, they'll surround it," she countered.
He thought for a moment and then gave in with a nod.
"There's a reason I'm following you," he admitted. "Grab the champagne bottle so you have something to swing," she said. "Might be able to crack a head with it."
He cocked a brow.
"What about you?" he asked. "I'm not strong enough to crack a skull, and I don't have anything in the house that could,"
Candace admitted.
"I'm just going to have to dodge and focus on getting the door open."
He took a deep breath.
"Okay," he agreed. "I'm ready when you are."
She pushed her phone deeper into her pocket to make sure that she wouldn't lose it, and gripped her keys tightly, her thumb on the unlock button.
"Let's go,"
she said, and threw open the door. As soon as their feet hit the porch, the noise attracted all four creatures, who sprinted towards them. Candace ducked under the arm of the first creature, a walking monstrous version of the boy that brought the morning newspaper. It swung around and slipped on the grass, falling behind her. Alex swung at another one with such force that the bottle shattered everywhere, but successfully cracked the skull, dropping the corpse to the lawn. The next creature that rushed for Candace was one of the soccer mums from down the street, bite marks all over her exposed neck and arms. Candace hit the unlock button as she tried to dodge the lunge, but the ghoul got a hold of her arm and pulled her close. In her pain and shock, Candace dropped her keys, panic rising in her throat.
"Alex!"
she shrieked. Alex turned and lowered his shoulder, barreling into the zombified mum. The move broke the grip on Candace, but the teenager from the grass was up on its feet and running towards them. Before he could react, Alex took the hungry teenager to his shoulder, and he screamed as he tried to thrash the monster off of him. He spun around, managing to send his attacker flying off in the direction of the fourth creature that closed in on them. Candace reached down for the keys, but Alex grabbed her arm, yanking her away before she could get them. She screamed in a panic and tried to wrench herself free, but he didn't let up, dragging her towards the car. Within seconds, several zombies were between her and the keys, so she had no choice but to run with him to the vehicle. They reached it and dove inside, slamming the door shut behind them. Barely a second later, three sets of hands banged on the windows, teeth gnashing against the glass as the crazed and frantic monsters drooled blood. They moaned and screamed, smearing the goopy pink saliva around like toddlers with finger paints. Alex moaned in the back seat as he pressed on his shoulder, now missing a deep chunk of flesh. Candace sat in the driver's seat, breathing heavily, staring helplessly at the ignition.
"What are you doing?"
Alex hissed.
"Let's go!"
She stared out towards the keys that she had no hope of reaching.
"I dropped the keys,"
she said dryly. He closed his eyes and took in a deep, ragged breath. She didn't have to tell him that's what she'd been screaming about. She could hear the resignation in his sigh, here that he realized his fuck-up. After a beat, he asked, "Don't suppose you know how to hotwire a car?" She laughed, a hysterical sound, prompting him to let out a pained chuckle. It was an absurd proposition, and all they could do was laugh in their current situation. What else could they do? Candace's phone dinged. "What was that?" Alex asked. "The group text," she cried, excitedly digging in her pocket for her cell. Alex shimmied himself into a sitting position. "Maybe one of them can come give us a hand," he said hopefully. Candace realized she'd missed a ton of texts in the last moments while they were fighting their way to the car, and swiped to open the phone. Her exhilaration quickly turned to dread. "Have you seen Mandy? Please help us, we're down at John's and shit's gone crazy. Can someone come pick me up? I don't know what's going on. I'm stuck, dude, a bunch of us are trapped at my place. The hallway is full of crazy people." "Well?" Alex demanded. Candace didn't respond. She clicked on a video from Henry, holding her phone up with shaky hands so they could both see what it was. He was pointing his phone at the street outside of one of their regular bars a few miles away. Dozens of those creatures ran rampant around the streets, and then he ducked back inside the office behind the bathrooms. "Please," Henry moaned, turning his camera around. "I'm at Sal's bar in the back. If anybody can get here, please, I need help." A bright red mark shone angry on his throat, and he jerked with surprise as banging happened in the background and the video cut out. Candace turned her phone off and set the phone down into the cup holder, screwing her fist into her eyes for a moment. She glanced back at Alex, who was still pressing down hard on his shoulder wound. "Lean forward," she said softly. "Let me have a look." He lowered his hand and she grabbed a sweatshirt from the passenger seat, folding it up and pressing it against the wound. "Just keep pressure on it," she instructed. "Bleeding should stop soon." He nodded and leaned back, resting his head. The back seat was small enough that he was crumpled up a bit, but at least it was better than fighting for their lives outside. "So, what do we do now?" he asked quietly. Candace stared outside at several more of those monsters running towards the car. "We wait," she said, and then glanced over her shoulder at his exhausted face, becoming paler and paler by the second. "I can do that," he whispered, and then rolled a little, leaning his head on the door of the car opposite the banging hands. Candace sat there, hands limp in her lap, watching more and more ghouls swarm the car. There was no way out, no help coming. The only sounds were the zombies smacking on the glass and the constant dings from her phone's group chat, everyone begging for help in the same hopeless position she was in. The end.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.